Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds and preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, you had the honor of preaching this past Sunday morning, and you talked about the ins and the outs.
The ins and the outs of discipleship. That's just kind of a neat concept I like, and what it really focuses upon is our insides and our outsides. And what we tried to build upon this is that our insides and our outsides need to match. Our insides are our thought process, our attitudes, our faith. Outside is our behavior. Outside is what everybody sees, but God sees both. And so we began in Matthew 23. That's really tough chapter where Jesus is really laying it into the Pharisees, and their major problem was that they had inside-outside problems. On the outside, they looked great. He uses expressions how they look beautiful and they look righteous. They look like a whitewashed tomb or a washed cup. But on the inside, they were a mess. They were unclean. And twice he'd say, you're full of robbery or full of self-indulgence and things like that. In that chapter, Jesus just kind of blisters them on lots of things. The word woe was used 8 times. He uses the word hypocrite 7 times. He goes through and talks about how they are blind and how they simply have their order out of order. And so we kind of went through that and kind of established that that is a very easy situation to get into when our insides and our outsides don't match. And there's lots of little ramifications of that. But then we went over later in the lessons to Colossians 3, where I think the Apostle Paul just paints a beautiful picture of what the insides ought to look like. And we must begin with our insides. Jesus even says that in Matthew 23, wash the inside of the cup first. So there's an order there, a divine order. And so as Paul would say in Colossians 3, to set your mind on things above, that's an inside situation. He would tell them to put on certain attitudes, certain actions. That again is the inside situation. And so when our inside and our outside match, we have this consistent spiritual life. But one of the things we kind of try to get people to see is that a person can be religious without being righteous. That was a problem of the Pharisees. A person can be religious, and that doesn't bring any benefit to God or themselves. I'm religious, but it doesn't do anything to me. I can be religious, and I can be unchanged. And to see that I can be religious, but that doesn't mean I'm right with God. And so what we really try to drive home at, and this really is just falling into our theme this year, is bringing the best. Because as we begin the second quarter, we're talking about the insides. And so our attitude, our insides, is really what matters.
Yeah, it's a great way to continue to look at our overall theme through a different lens, right? We spent January, February, and March in many ways focused on the glory of God. God is the best, therefore it only makes sense that we would bring the best to Him. But if we're going to bring the best in the way that He would have us to, the way that we ought to as His creation, it's not just a matter of outward compliance or grudging, you know, checklist sort of things. It really is a matter of the heart. It's got to begin on the outside. And so this was a great way of cracking that lid. Lord willing, throughout the summer, we'll talk about our insides in a wide variety of ways, and making sure from hearts that completely belong to God, we are bringing the best. There are lots of things that we could take out of the sermon. Roger, I figured here in the middle of the week, maybe we would go back to that Matthew 23, and we can certainly cheat back over to Colossians 3 as need be. But you highlighted 6 major problems in Matthew 23 that Jesus saw with the ins and outs of the Pharisees and the scribes that he's addressing here. Maybe just a very quick question to make sure we all understand. When Matthew tells us that Jesus was talking to scribes and Pharisees, Who were those people?
Well, they were part of the Jewish religion, part of the Jewish nationality. By the time of Jesus, the Jewish religion had splintered into several different groups. We read in Matthew chapter 22, that just a chapter before, about a group called Sadducees. There were Pharisees. There were Essenes. There were some political ones called Herodians. So they were just different branches. We would say the Pharisees were very conservative. The aristocrats would have been the Sadducees. And so just as we look at our country today, and we have a progressive side, we have a conservative side, we have some who are in the middle, we have just kind of a hodgepodge of thinking, that's what the Jewish religion had become. And so the scribes, they were those who had the job of just handwriting, as they had back then, the text of God and what was said in synagogues and in temple. And so their job was just to record. And by doing that, they were supposed to know the law because they had spent all day writing it, so they should have known it.
Yeah, I think that's a valuable thing to understand. These are not pagan people. These are not ignorant people of God's law. They are very familiar with what we would refer to as the Old Testament, but knowledge didn't automatically equal godliness, or practice, as you've drawn out, religious practice did not always equal righteous devotion to God. And I think that's what Jesus is highlighting with these six major problems. Let's rehearse those, and then I'd love you to just maybe draw some parallels to us. For instance, your first one was, they made salvation nearly impossible. Is there any way that we can be guilty of the same sort of thing today?
Absolutely. I mean, we can just stack on all these do's and don'ts that we have manufactured in our own minds, and we can just make it so complicated and so hard that people are just going to walk away from it. We can just make it almost like a country club. And if you're not a certain status, you're not this, you're not that, then you simply are not welcomed. You don't fit in. And that is so contrary to the gospel of Jesus. And so we can make the salvation impossible. We make it so hard on people that they just walk away because they feel like, I can't do this. This is too hard for me. And we look at broken people coming to Jesus and how Jesus turned their lives around. And so many of them didn't know all the stuff. A person doesn't have to know all the books of the Bible. They don't have to have an understanding of this and that, as we sometimes think they do. It helps you, but it's not necessary. As you just come to understand who Jesus is, you'll grow in faith. And those are some things that we need to appreciate.
Yeah, the way that he diagnoses this in verse 13 is, you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. That sounds very, very serious. One of the reasons that he pronounces that woe on them and calls them hypocrites. Number two, you draw out from verse 15 that they ruined converts. And I would love to know, okay, how might we slip into the same deadly mindset today?
Absolutely. Verse 15 reads, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Now, that's not a good thing.
No.
I mean, making somebody a son of hell means you've ruined him. And so they've traveled far and wide to get somebody converted to the Jewish religion, but they have stacked on so much that they have ruined this person. And so when we think about someone who's new in the faith, someone who's young, you think about that tender little plant, as Jesus used that illustration in the parable of the sower, and how it can wither away because it gets scorched by the sun. Its roots did not get developed, or the birds come and destroy that seed. We can ruin others simply by just demanding and expecting too much of them. Growth is a process. It's a slow process. And sometimes our lack of patience with others can just kind of just cripple them in lots of ways like that.
Number three, from verses 16 through 22, you brought up they made faith useless.
Yeah, you know, 16 says, "Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, and whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated." And then he goes on to talk about how they would take that offering and that gold, and they would really misuse it. And so they had this faith, but it wasn't helping them. It wasn't bringing them closer to God. Their selfish and worldly attitudes was misusing things. And so Jesus would ask this great question, verse 19, "You blind man, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering?" And so they had forgot about the right order of things. And so we can make faith useless when we simply don't use it. We don't apply it. And we leave it at the church house on a Sunday. We go off to work Monday, off to school Monday, and we give no thought to the spiritual. We don't think about our consequences. And there we think, well, I believe, but it really hasn't helped me at all.
Yeah, religious on the outside, empty on the inside, or maybe I have been taught a variety of religious things, like you said, from someone else. Perhaps it's a parent or a grandparent, some teacher, some relative, coworker, whomever it is. But what they have taught me is not the will of God. It is their own spin on the will of God, or it is the will of God plus whatever it is that they would like to add, and then binding it on. This is a humbling passage. It is a passage that reminds us we've got to go back to the basics and make sure what we're practicing, what we're teaching, is actually what God has revealed. In fact, verses 23 and 24, it leads us to number four. These were busy people, religious people, well-known people, but they were neglecting the most important things.
Yeah, 23 is one of the famous verses in this section. "Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe the mint, the dill, the cunnum, but neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." So it wasn't a matter that they were meticulous in the little things, you know, sweat the small stuff. They were doing that, but they were forgetting the most important things. So when you neglect mercy, that means you're not kind to others. You don't have grace or forgiveness. When you neglect faithfulness, you're not walking right with the Lord. When you forget justice, you're bending the rules. You're having double standards. And so through all of that, what we see screaming out at us is this idea that they're a hypocrite. They would say one thing, but they'd obviously live a different way. And that again, was getting them into serious, serious trouble there.
Yeah, the word I keep coming back to is humbling, because how easy it is to gather together with other Christians on a first day of the week and do what God has prescribed us to do. Maybe we sing as we've been encouraged and commanded to sing, but then we use the same tongue, the same God-given breath to tear someone down on Sunday afternoon. James talks a lot about that, right? And the word that he uses is hypocrite, that with one breath you praise God, and in the next breath you use the same tongue to tear down those created in his image. Brothers and sisters, he said, it's not supposed to be this way. But this was a problem for very conservative people. As you brought out earlier, it continues to be a problem today. Yep. No doubt. Number five, you highlighted from verses 25 and 26, they were doing holy things without being holy.
Yeah, and this really was the two passages we really spent a lot of our time on in this lesson. And again, they just had the order out of order. 25 says, "Woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, you clean the outside of the cup of the dish, but inside they're full of robbery and self-indulgence. 26, you blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup or of the dish so that the outside it may become clean also. So that they had their order wrong. And so, they looked good on the outside. And so they seemed to be holy. They would be going to the temple. They'd be going to the synagogue. They would go through the practices that seemed right. You know, back in Matthew 6, Jesus still talking to the same group here. He talked about how they'd put on a gloomy face when they would, fast, or how they'd stand on street corners and pray these long prayers. All of that seems to be very good and right. It seems righteous. But the inside of them was a mess. And so he compares them to, going to a restaurant and you get this cup and it looks real shiny, sparkly, and you look inside it and it has never been washed. And you think, or you pick up a fork and obviously it has the remains of food from the last person. You think that's just gross. I can't do that. Verse 27, he carries over and talks about the cemetery, the whitewashed tomb. Now we don't use that phrase whitewashed very much, but that the tombstones would get dirty and ugly. And so they put whitewash on to make them bright and shiny. And he even uses that expression. He says, you appear beautiful, but inside they're full of dead men's bones and uncleanliness. So you too, verse 28, outwardly appear to be righteous to men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So what we see is that their inside and their outside simply didn't match. They looked good to other people, just as you and I can look good sitting in the church building. But while we're sitting there, we're looking around at who's here today and who's not here, and we start having some mean thoughts and ugly thoughts. You see, that's where our insides and our outsides don't line up, and that's what Jesus was pointing out there.
Yeah, one thing to be a part of a Bible-based church, another thing to have a Bible-saturated heart, right? And hear us clearly, just as Jesus wanted to be heard clearly in Matthew 23. We're not discounting in any way or degrading the importance of being a part of a Bible-based church, right? Clearly, Jesus is calling them to act righteously, but when the inside doesn't match the outside, that is a really big deal. And I can be going through religious actions, saying religious things, but I'm not bringing God my best.
And here's the dilemma, Jason, because I see both extremes. I see some people who are only concerned about the outside.
Yeah.
How people see them. That's the Pharisees. And it's all a show. And so it's kind of like those, chocolate Easter bunnies that you take a bite and it's hollow. There's it's nothing inside.
Nothing in there.
and it's empty. But then the other extreme is somebody who says, I love Jesus and my outside doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so I can love Jesus, but I can act just like the world and thinking, well, that's okay because I love Jesus. And the idea is that neither one of those are right. And so the inside and the outside have to match. That's what we were driving at in that lesson.
Yeah. Maybe a good way of summarizing all of this. You spent a good amount of time in Colossians 3. I love Colossians 3 verse 4, where Paul says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If Christ is my life, he's not a weekend hobby. He's not a weekend checkbox to make sure that I check off. When Christ is my life, it's not just a matter of saying, well, I've got a relationship on the inside, but it's not in any way going to impact the way that I live. No, this is the stuff of loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might, all of our strength. That is how we bring the Lord our best. And Roger, I really appreciate you kicking off this spring sub-theme as we focus on the insides. It's got to start on the inside. As you very accurately brought out, there are pitfalls on both sides of this road, but down the middle, following Jesus, that is what we want to spend the spring really focused on. This lesson, Ins and Outs of Discipleship, it's freely available at charlestownroad.org and in our sermon podcast feed. You would do well, if you haven't already, sometime this week, to watch or to listen to that good lesson. Roger, it is Wednesday, and we are working to grow as disciples. We're excited to have a brand new slate of Wednesday classes. You're going to be teaching in the auditorium.
Yes, and in the second quarter, which we're talking about, is this idea of the insides. So we're going to talk about attitudes of excellence, and this is the first class. We're going to kind of introduce this concept, and then we'll be going and working through different attitudes that bring about the type of behavior that leads to our best.
In our Building Blocks track of studies, this evening we are kicking off a study of Old Testament books of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. Even though it is history, this really is the problem that we have been exploring in this conversation. We'll learn all about generations who did not know the Lord. There was no king in Israel, we read about in this era. And by studying the mistakes and the missteps of previous generations, there is a lot that we can learn. We would love to have you study the first few chapters of Joshua with us this evening. Lord willing, this coming Sunday, Roger, we've got some exciting things on the horizon.
We do. It's what we often call our spring meeting. We invited a good friend, Dan Langford, to come from Colorado. He's going to be preaching some lessons that will just kind of fit in with our theme. We're going to kick this off on the day before, on Saturday, with a singing. And that's just so wonderful to be able to do that. It really enriches our hearts. And Dan and you, Jason, will be leading us in these song service as we try to lift our voices to God. And then Sunday through Wednesday, we'll be gathering to hear some good, solid preaching.
Yeah, the details are freely available at charlestownroad.org. His sermon series is called In the Light of His Presence. And we're going to talk about closeness with God, simplicity, solitude, contentment, surrender, sacrifice. Sounds a whole lot like making sure our insides match our outsides. We would love to have you join us for that special series. As Roger mentioned, it all gets kicked off this Saturday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. You can see all the details at charlestownroad.org. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. It would be great to see you tonight. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. And we would love to have you come and grow with us.